Get a little bit of a taste there for Palm Sunday, right? Although some of them could have been a little more enthusiastic, but that's all right. It was good to see them marching around there. Well, good morning, 12th Street.
Good morning.
It is great to see you here this morning, and if you're here visiting with us, we want to say welcome to you, and it's great to have you with us. If you're visiting with us and haven't received a visitor pack with the visitor card, we would like to give one of those to you so you could fill the card out and drop that in the offering plate. And so if you're visiting with us and haven't filled one of those cards out, if you could just raise your hands up in the air and we'll get that to you. We had a couple young ladies right there, Joel. All right. Well, we do have a visiting family with us here this morning that's going to share with us. Tim Compton and his family have come. They're going to share the ministry that God's laid on their heart. So I'm looking forward to having him come and share. But before we get into all that, let's take our bulletins. We have a few announcements to go through. First of all, committee meetings. We'll be meeting after the service today. Now, immediately after the service, we have a quick congregational business meeting. It's going to take 5 minutes, all right? And I'm pretty good at those five-minute meetings, right? So it'll be right after the morning service. And then committees will be having their meetings. The location for the committee meetings, that's in the bulletin there. Our Good Friday service will be at 7 p.m. This year we don't have a big production that we're doing for Easter, and so we get to have a Good Friday service. So I'm excited about it, so I want to encourage you to be here at 7 p.m. on Friday. Our Easter egg hunt is on the 26th. It's this Saturday, and there's been a lot of work. I think over 7,000 eggs have been stuffed, and so that's a lot of work. So I want to say thank you to those who have been doing that work. But also, come on out, bring the children, bring your neighbor's children, and it's going to be a great day of fun. And we start at 4 p.m. Next Saturday. Today is the last day to purchase tickets for home plate, and there are only 5 spaces left on the bus if you want to ride on the bus. So home plate is where we go to a Tigers game. Before the Tigers game starts, some players share their testimonies. And it's a great time. It's an encouraging time, and then you stay for the game, and it turns out to be a great day. So today's the last day. Make sure you see Brian Cooper. Brian, stand right there in the middle. All right, so you can get your money to Brian for that. The lunch and a movie is on April 10th, and so if you want to stay for lunch, sign up for that. The lunch will cost $5 a person or $10 for a family. And then the movie is free if you bring someone that is a non-churched person with you. Okay, so if you're if your children bring a friend that's non-churched, then the whole family can go for free. All right, the idea of this is we want to get some unsaved people to go and to see. The movie is God's Not Dead 2, all right, and we're renting a theater out. Now, we need you to sign up ASAP because we need to know how large of a theater we need to rent out. Last time, we bought the entire theater, the largest theater that they have, and we filled it, okay? We had 188 people, I think. So we just need you to sign up with how many people you will be bringing, total number, so that we know what size theater that we need to rent out. Our softball season is beginning soon. You can read about that. We have a sign-up sheet for people that want to play. We have an intramural league, so that's within our church. And then we also have a team that's going to play in the church league against other churches. So sign up accordingly. Vacation Bible School. Can you believe we're already talking about Vacation Bible School? But that is coming up. Mark the date of July 11th through July 14th on your calendar. Keep that free so that your family can come and be involved with our Vacation Bible School. And then also our annual camping trip will be August 12th and 13th and 14th. And so that's the date. Mark that there. And then more details will be given as to how to sign up for that camping trip. All right. Out in the lobby, there are the small group books are out for the next series. We're going to study the book of Revelation. So there's small group, and then there's the teacher. The teacher's about three times as thick as the student. If you want a teacher's edition, you don't have to be a teacher to get one. Go ahead and get one, and go ahead and get those taken. If we have to do another printing, we will do another printing. I'm excited about this. The small groups will begin on April 17th, okay? April 17th is when the small groups will begin. And right after the morning service, after our business meeting, I need just a quick meeting with all the small group hosts and teachers. And so if you signed up to be a host or a teacher, I need to meet with you just for a couple seconds just to make sure we're all on the same page. So a lot going on, right? Wouldn't life be boring if we didn't have anything going on? So let's figure out ways that we can be involved in God's work together. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for a great night last night with the teens. And thank you for the hard work that went into that dinner. And I pray, Lord, that the money that they raised, that it'll be used for a great cause and sharing the gospel with those in Detroit. And as they go and they do that work, Lord, I know even right now, you can prepare a great way for them that they would have just an excellent time doing your work. Thank you for that last night, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that today as we get together, that we can hear about a great work that you're doing in Thailand. We can hear about a family that's on fire for you, that wants to serve you. And then, Lord, as we go to your word this morning and we look at Palm Sunday, we look at the day where scripture was fulfilled, prophecy was accomplished. And then, Lord, we look at the misunderstanding that people had just 1 week later. I pray, Lord, that we would be more discerning in our lives, that we would have more of an understanding of you, but also, Lord, we would have more of a love for you. So, God, as we spend time together this morning, fill us with the knowledge that we need. Lord, fill us with the passion that we need to live out that knowledge. And, Lord, to you be all the glory this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us. Oh, yeah, the guys there should have one for you. Me. Yeah. Hey, good morning. How are you doing? Good morning. Good morning, Cindy. Good morning, Liz. Good morning. Dan, how are you doing?
Good morning.
Excuse me, Greg. Is there a microphone I can have for the missionary? Good morning. All right, if we could find our seats, if everybody could find their seat, and go ahead and take a seat. Boy, the greeting time is good, but we always take such a long time. All right. Well, if everybody finds their seats, I'd like to introduce to you this morning Tim Compton. He is a missionary with ABWE to Thailand. And so, Tim, come on up and share what the Lord's laying on your heart.
Good morning. Good morning. Greetings from Grand Rapids. Can you hear me? Am I on here? All right. Well, I first want to share a quick verse here with you. It is in 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. This is something that I struggled with because I didn't feel like I was cut out for full-time ministry. I didn't want anything to do with it growing up. I was a PK, so I knew that full-time ministry was not what I wanted to do anymore or be involved in. So I went into finance. So I have got a finance background. And a little bit about me, I'm not a very deep individual. Coaching sports.
Can I trade your mics?
This better? Whoa. That's, here I am. All right. Well, I was that way. I felt that there was no place in full-time ministry for me. And then God introduced me to Thai children. As Pastor said, Laura and I have a burden for the youth in Thailand. And a lot of these children are hurting because of Satan attacking the family dynamic in Thailand in the name of religion and Buddha. So you have a generation of children who aren't living with their parents, who are being abused by adults, and are ending up in the human trafficking industry. Thailand right now is the number one source of human trafficked individuals. And actually, in the hour that we're going to be worshiping here today, five children in Thailand have been sold in the human trafficking industry. So those are the kids that we're trying to reach. We want to show the love of God to them. But the issue is they don't trust adults. Why would they? Why would they trust a huge, big American like me to come and do something for them without expecting anything in return? And that's where the Clay Center comes in. The Clay Center Ministries mission is to use the venue of sports to create trust, build relationships, and reach the youth in Thailand with the gospel. So that's our step. We're going to first have to figure out ways for them to trust me and trust my wife, Laura, and my four of my five girls are here. Girls, you want to wave and say hi? Well, one's disappeared. I don't know where she's at. So she's probably running around in the church somewhere. But to use our family to gain the trust of these Thai kids, and really all they need is for someone to come in and love them and not expect anything in return. So we're going to first be able to, our goal is to gain their trust and then build relationships through weekly sporting events or weekend sports camps, bringing groups over and doing a soccer or basketball camp throughout the week with these kids, kind of doing it like a VBS style thing. And then the ultimate goal is reaching them with the gospel and then connecting them to the local church that's planted over there. So that's what we're doing. And we're going to use any gift that anybody has to do that, whether they speak English and helping teach an English class in the public schools. If they've got the gift of music, we'll put on a concert. If they have the gift of just hanging out and drinking coffee, we can use that too. Building, medicine, anything that a gift that we have are available to us, we're going to use to build those relationships with the Thai people. So that's us. That's what we're doing to reach the Thai kids. And this is a generation now that is very open to the gospel. In the last 2 years, we have seen incredible openness and questions. And up until this point, they did not want anything to do with Christianity because they thought that if they became a Christian, they would lose their Thai-ness. They wouldn't be able to be a Thai anymore because they weren't Buddhist. But now the younger generation is really starting to have questions just because families are going over there and just loving them and showing them the love of Christ. We have a quick video that we want to share with you that goes over one of our outreach events we did this summer. It was a concert. And it's amazing how they will show up if just a group of Americans come over, because they want to be everything about America. They want to learn American English. They want to kind of see what Americans, you know, how they act. Well, we brought a group of teenagers with us this summer to Thailand, and we had them using their gift of drama, and then we took some people from the church over there that had the gift of music. We put together this concert in Chiang Rai. We rented out a university hall, and we weren't sure how it would turn out. And we learned a couple of things. We learned the Thai time. Thai time means that it's not going to start on time. So the church services over there start around 10:30, so it could be 11, it could be 10:15, just when everyone gets there. So the concert was scheduled to start at 5:30. At 5:30, we had 7 people there. And we're like, oh, this is going to be a colossal flop, okay? 6:30, we had about 100 people there. And Gan, who is the guy who was leading the band over there, he came up to me and said, Tim, just wait. They're my people. They're Thai. They'll come. I'm like, all right, we'll wait. 7:30, truckloads started coming with kids. So 2 hours later, we had ended up having over 900 people come to this concert. About 150 of them were from the church, and the rest were from the community. So 750 Thais heard the gospel for the first time. And Laura's going to share a little bit about how we introduced them to Jesus.
It was really great, because the drama presentations were mostly mimes, and because we don't speak Thai yet, so we use no language. So you have these dramas happening, and there's a character in each of the dramas who is showing love to people, who is stepping in and taking abuse from others in order to protect this person that he loves. He's looking behind the masks that people are wearing and still loving them. They have no idea who this character is. You know, we can figure that out, but they don't know. But they, through the course of these dramas, they are starting to cheer for this character, and they're applauding for him, and they are just, totally cheering for him. They are falling in love with him. And then coming towards the end of the whole concert drama presentation, then we got up and we shared the gospel with them, and we shared with them who this character was, and this character is Jesus, and that's what he wants to do for all of them, that he wants to step in and take all the crud of their life, take those beatings for them, and he wants to restore them and make something beautiful out of them. And he already sees behind the masks that they wear. He knows who they are, and he loves them anyway, and he wants this relationship with them. So it's so awesome, and that's the goal of what we're doing. I think it's great that God just, the way he works in the world, that he just uses people with nothing very special. Like Tim said, we're a family very into sports. God's picking us up from here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, putting us on the complete other side of the world to keep doing sports. My girls are going to hang out, play sports with kids, invite them into our home, just like they do here in Grand Rapids. So nothing special. He's just using us the way we are, the way he created us and designed us, and he's going to use us there. And our goal is that as these kids see us live our lives, that we make Jesus so attractive to them that they want him before they even know what his name is.
So we want to invite you to be a part of our ministry. So I'm going to have you raise your hand and keep it raised, okay? So how many of you have enjoyed playing soccer? All right. How about basketball? All right. Baseball? Okay. How many people like music? All right. All right. Good. We got, hopefully everyone back here is raising their hand, or we have an issue. Okay. How many like to drink coffee? Okay. How many speak English? All right. Well, hey, if you have your hand raised, we can use you in Thailand. So put your group together, come in and partner with us in building the kingdom over there. And if you have any more questions about us, there's booklets at our table. Come talk to us, ask questions, and see how you can get involved. We're hoping to be there this summer, so it's exciting. We're going to close the video, and then we'll turn it over to the worship team. All right. Thank you.
chains are broken, your death has spoken life to us, and every accusation, all our condemnation, silenced at the cross. There is no one like our God.
Well, if you'd like to bless the Comptons while we take up the offering today, if you'll just grab an envelope and mark Compton on it and designate some funds for them when we take up the offering today, that'd be a great way to do that. And stop by their table, talk to them. You know what? I think it's great that you don't have to be a preacher to go and to reach people, right? Amen. There's a lot of different ways to share the gospel. And I hope that every single one of us can realize God can use the talents and likes that we have to reach others. And so the biggest thing is just saying, okay, God, what am I going to do for you? So let's stand together and let's worship our Lord together.
Sunday in the book of John, chapter 12. It says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And then in Revelations it says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Praise God. Our God is a consuming fire, a burning holy flame with glory and freedom. Our God is the only righteous judge, ruling over us with kindness and wisdom. We'll keep our eyes on you. We will keep our eyes on you. A mighty fortress is our God. A sacred refuge is your name. Your kingdom is unshakable. With you forever we will reign. Our God is jealous for his own. None could comprehend his love and his mercy. Our God is exalted on his throne, high above the heavens forever. Our eyes on you. We will keep our eyes on you. A mighty fortress is our God. A sacred refuge is your name. Your kingdom is unshakable.
song, to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. Everything, and I will adore you.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day. decides to make that step, take that step in life, to ask your son into their heart. Lord, we just pray for those who are sick and afflicted, that they heal fast, and that whatever they're going through, they learn from it, and you are there with them the whole way, holding them. And Lord, we pray these things in your son's precious and holy name. Amen.
Walking with Jesus has been the greatest thrill I've ever known, guiding my footsteps as I travel on this road toward home, holding my hand lest I should stumble on this gospel way. Yes, I'm walking with Jesus, we shall reach home someday.
Children, you may be dismissed to Children's Church. And as the children are heading out, let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 12. John 12. We just finished up a study through the book of Esther, and we saw God at work even when his people aren't. And I'm excited to start getting into Revelation. We're going to jump in slowly. We're going to look today at Palm Sunday, the original Palm Sunday, and what effect it really had on the world, and the misunderstanding that the people had on that Palm Sunday, and the same type of misunderstanding that people have today concerning the future events, and how that plays out. So I'm looking forward to getting into this. So in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it says this, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes unto you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon a donkey and upon a colt, the foal of a donkey. And let's have a word of prayer here together. Lord God, as we enter into your word, as we look at the great event that took place a week before you were crucified, I pray, Lord, that we would have the same enthusiasm that people had that Palm Sunday, but also, Lord, we would have much more than that. We would have an understanding of who you are and a passion to live a life for you. And so, God, I just pray that your word would be rich in our ears this morning. I pray that it would be sweet to our taste. And, Lord, where we walk disorderly, I pray that it would be bitter. Help us, Lord, to have a desire to walk with you. And if anyone here does not know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray this morning they would leave knowing the King of Kings as their Lord, and not only as their Lord, but as the one who gave his life for them so that they could be his. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in Zechariah 9, we see a prophecy that's given about 430 some years before Jesus was ever born. And the prophecy was that there would come the Messiah riding on, not the donkey itself, but on the donkey's baby, okay? A young donkey, one that had never been ridden before. And so this is the prophecy that Jerusalem should rejoice because the king comes. And so John chapter 12 and verse 12, it says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is he of is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold your king comes, sitting on a donkey's colt. These things did not his disciples understand at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered these things that were written of him, and that they had done these things to him. So here's Palm Sunday. Jesus sends two disciples into town, and they tell him, you're going to find a donkey tied up. Grab it. When the owner of the donkey asks you what you're doing with it, tell them the master has need of it. So they did. They grab the donkey. They bring it to Jesus. He's up on the top of Mount of Olives. He sits down on the donkey, and he begins to make this descent from the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem. And as he comes to the city, the people see him, and they start to take their coats. They start to take palm branches, and they lay it in front of him, and they cry, Hosanna! Blessed is the King! The King is here! And as they're celebrating the King coming, the whole town gets into a buzz, and everybody comes, and everybody's celebrating the coming King. And they believe now that he will march right into Jerusalem and set up his kingdom. And so they celebrate the king on that day. Basically, most of them were just following the crowd. Because just a week later, in John chapter 19 and verse 15, they cry out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! And Pilate says to them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. And then the crowd joins in that they have no king but Caesar. In Luke chapter 24, turn there real quickly. Luke 24 and verse 36. Jesus died because they said crucify him, because it was the will of God. But Jesus dies. 3 days later, he comes back to life. Now, the disciples, he had told them before he died, he said, listen, when I die, go into Galilee, and I'll meet you in Galilee. So the disciples were all hiding in Jerusalem. Okay? Does it make any sense? It doesn't make a bit of sense. But they're all hiding in Jerusalem, and so Jesus appears to them in chapter 24, verse 36 of Luke. As they spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and afraid, and supposed that they'd seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do these thoughts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see me have." And when he had spoken this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said to them, "Do you have any meat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. He took it and did eat it before them. And he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." All right, one of the things was he would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. And that day that he rode in on the donkey, they didn't understand it. But now in Luke 24, look at verse 45. "Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures and said to them, 'It is written, and it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with the power from on high.' And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. Turn over to Acts chapter 1. It gives us a little bit more of what took place while Jesus was walking with his disciples the last time he saw them. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?'" They're thinking back to the week before he was crucified, and he rode into Jerusalem as king. But instead of establishing a kingdom at that time, he was crucified. Why was he crucified? Because the sin of the world had to be paid for. But then he rose again. So they're thinking, okay, you died, you paid for the sins of the people. Isaiah 53, Isaiah 56, it all makes sense now. You died for us. So now are you going to establish the kingdom? Now they're ready for him to set up a throne in Jerusalem and be the king of the world. But look at verse 7. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall he come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." So here's the scene. The disciples spend this time with Jesus. They want the kingdom to come. They want him to be the king. The king that they celebrated on Palm Sunday. And he says, "It's not for you to know when these things are going to happen. You have a job. Your job is go preach the gospel faithfully. Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth." I think today we live in a society and age when people read their Bible, They want to know the same thing the disciples wanted to know. When is the kingdom of God going to be established? For goodness sakes, it's been 2,000 years. And so people get their imaginations going, and they want to figure out when this is going to take place. And let me tell you, it's okay to study the scriptures about those things. We should. But what's the greater task? Being a witness for the Lord in our world, right? You know, there are people that devote their entire life to figuring out when Jesus is going to return. And then you know what happens? They die. And he still hasn't returned. What good was it? I'll tell you what's good. Being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's priority one. That's the most important task that we, as children of God, are left to work on this earth. Let me give you two things from this passage here, or from these passages. First of all, the disciples did not understand Palm Sunday until he opened their understanding. The prophecies about Palm Sunday were real, and the prophecies were precise. But the disciples, it kind of escapes them a little bit. Secondly, the people were easily convinced to change their opinions. One week, they're shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the King that comes in the name of the Lord." The next week, they're yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." And the reason that their opinion was easily changed, misunderstanding of the scripture created antagonism toward the truth. Misunderstanding of the scripture created, and it creates today, antagonism toward the truth. And then also, misunderstanding of the time brought scorn to the faith. You know, when they crucified Jesus, they put a plaque above his head that said, "King of the Jews." They couldn't have written a truer statement about him. But yet it was used as an accusation. They didn't understand. They thought he was guilty. And you know the only thing Jesus was ever guilty of? Love for you and me. It's the only thing he's ever been guilty of. You know what made him die? Your sin and my sin. You know what condemned him to death? The fact that we fall short of the glory of God. And the truth is, when Jesus died, he was king. And as king, he was preparing a way. See, if I die for my sin, I go to hell. And someday, hell will be cast into the lake of fire. And I would spend eternity in the lake of fire paying for my own sin. Jesus paid for my sin. And by paying for my sin, I, when I die, will go and spend eternity with him in heaven because the King paid for my sin. And we're all left with a choice this morning. You can either pay for your own sin, or accept the payment, receive the payment that Jesus made for your sin. Misunderstanding is a big, big deal in the world concerning truth. And this is why we're going to study the book of Revelation, because there's been so much misunderstanding that's brought antagonism and scorn to our faith. Remember Y2K? The world's going to end. Electricity is going to shut down. Computers are going to kill people. I don't know how that was going to happen, but, you know, it was crazy, right? And you had people that were taking scripture and trying to use scripture to prove their point. And you know what? They were all wrong. Dead wrong. And you know what that did? Every single preacher that got up and preached a message about how Y2K was the end, you know what they did to faith? They made it a mockery to the world. Right? Anybody here ever hear of Harold Camping? He said that the world would end on May 21st, 2011. People sold everything they had and put up billboards. Repent! Because May 21st, 2011, Christ is going to return. Do you know what happened? May 22nd, Harold Camping came out and said, October 21st! And you know what happened again? People sold their stuff, bought billboards. And you know what happened on October 22nd? Harold Camping came out and said, I guess you can't predict it. Well, duh. But you know what? If you say the name Harold Camping to someone that was informed of the events that were taking place that is not a believer, they mock our faith. Just like people will listen. And you know what people they did? They stood right there when Jesus marched down from the Mount of Olives as he rode on that donkey. They threw their coat in front of him. They dropped a palm branch in front of him and they cried, King! And a week later they said, we have no king. In September 2015, anybody hear about the Shemitah? How that it was the 50 Jubilee, and how this was supposed to be the end all of end alls, and Christ was going to return, and the stock market was going to crash, and American economy was going to fall to its knees, and then there was a blood moon that was going to take place, and that blood moon was the seal from Revelation, and boy, people preached it and made billions of dollars selling their books about it. And you know what's happened? September has come and went. And they're wrong. And you know what that does to our faith? The world looks at it and they mock it. Because the king that we celebrate is misunderstood. And we want to make sure that we aren't the ones feeding people bad information. Now, when it comes to the gospel, we do a pretty good job with the gospel, right? You must believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, and he is coming back. You know, it's the he is coming back part that we keep throwing out in front of people and keeps being a stumbling block to them. Turn with me to Revelation 1, all right? And I promise you we're going to be done really fast. I just want to read these first seven verses because these seven verses tell us so much about what we need to understand. First of all, in verse 1, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. All right, earlier, Jesus had told everybody, he said, listen, no man knows the day or the hour except my Father, which is in heaven. So you know what? In Revelation chapter 1, Jesus is saying, the Father gave it to me. And now I'm telling you, John, about not the day or the hour, but about the end events, so that you can show these things to the servants, which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, verse 2, who bear record of the word of God. Because John is the one who wrote the Gospel of John. John is also the one that wrote Revelation. He also wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. All right? John wrote a lot about the Lord Jesus Christ. So now John is going to be the one that the Lord will use to share this revelation and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that reads. You know how many passages in Scripture say, blessed is he that reads? There aren't a whole lot. But you know what? Here in Revelation, it says, blessed is he that reads. So you know what? Happy. Blessed. Revelation is not a book of destruction for me. It's a book of glory. It's only a book of destruction to those who don't know Christ. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. You're going to be blessed. You have no idea how you're going to be blessed the next couple months. And keep those things which are written therein. Okay, read, hear, and keep. You know what the problem in our world is today? We don't keep. It's just like Zechariah 9:9, very clearly depicted. Jesus, the Messiah, riding on the donkey. And what did the world do? Woo, Jesus, King! And a week later, crucify him. You know what we do? We read this. Woo, Revelation! And then we misinterpret it and we don't keep it. The time is at hand. It's been at hand for 2,000 years. All I know, it's closer today than it was yesterday. And it will be closer tomorrow, right? Look at verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. I'm going to talk about that next Sunday. Easter, the first begotten of the dead is Christ. And the prince of the kings of the earth. You know what that means? He is the chief of all kings of the earth. He is the one, the only. You know when they cried, Hail, Hosanna, King! They were right. Amen. Jesus is the prince of the kings. That word prince, chief ruler of the kings. Unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Good Friday, we're going to talk about that. Be here Friday. Like these plugs, right? But now read verse 6 with me. And has made us kings and priests unto our God, or unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. There's great importance in seeing Jesus as the king who gives us kingship. He gives us kingship. Now, we are in no way a king on his level because he is the chief ruler of the kings. But you know what he gives to you? He gives you kingship. You know what else he gives to you? The great high priest gives us priestly position. He makes us kings and priests. Now, what did a priest do in the Old Testament? They did two things. They sacrificed to God for the forgiveness of sins, and they informed the people about God's expectations. All right, we do not offer sacrifices for sins. You know what we do? We offer sacrifices of praise. Our sacrifice is different than theirs in that theirs was for sins, ours is for praise. But we are still the priests who declare the will of God to this world. God's expectations. We are kings and priests. Now the scripture told us the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he was fulfilling prophecy as king. And the people, they paid due homage to him. But the people did not understand a week later when they said, he is not our king. The disciples did not understand. And a week later, they ran. They hid. They didn't go to Galilee like he said. When Christ was preparing for them to stand. What kind of king is Jesus to you? Is he as a king that you continually offer sacrifices of praise to? Or is he a king that you celebrate today and deny tomorrow? I don't know about you, but when we were singing about the God of angel armies, I'm going, I'm so glad that I know the God of angel armies. My God goes on the offensive for me. That's pretty cool. It's an awesome thought, isn't it? Our God goes on the offensive for us. But not only that, he is a mighty fortress. He's my defense. He defends me. He fights for me. He defends me. And then the third song we sang, he's the lamb that died for me. And being the lamb who died for me, he gives to me kingship. He gives me a priestly position. And today, we were able to sing and celebrate that. And I hope that you got excited a little bit while you were singing about that. And you know, I hope that hearing about what they did on Palm Sunday, and you're going, he is my king. I'm going to stick by my king. And then tomorrow we wake up and it's Monday. And we all love Mondays, right? And oh, it's back to the grind. And then you get around a group of people, whether it's at work or just socially. And you get around a group of people that are just they're just a little bit off color. And you all of a sudden get a little bit off color. And you just a tiny little bit, you kind of stray from what we've been celebrating today. And then a little bit later, someone speaks out against your faith. Someone mocks Christianity. Someone mocks your king. And you just sit there quietly. And everything that we've celebrated today, we've just thrown away. And we're just like the people of Jerusalem who cried, "Hail King!" And a week later, crucify him. And we're just talking about Monday. What about when hump day comes? Or Friday, the day that you finally, hey, everybody's going for a beer, I'm just going to go have a beer. It's Friday. We all relax on Friday. We all just let it go a little bit. And it's been less than a week. And what are we doing with our King? How are we representing our King? How are we praising Him? Let's not be like the people on Palm Sunday. Let's be kings and priests. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that from it, Lord, you want us to learn. You want us to see the mistakes that were in others so that we don't repeat them. And Lord, you give to us such great hope. We have a future because that Jesus who went up is going to return. Lord, that is going to be an awesome day for all those who believe. But for those who do not believe, it is a day of trouble and terror. So, Lord, I pray that you would be with anyone here that has never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That right now, Lord, they would see their need to believe in your sacrifice, that they would accept the payment that you have paid for them. Lord, for the Christian this morning, I pray that we would be good representatives of your truth. So now as we go to this time of closing and invitation, I pray, Lord, we would all be sensitive to what your Spirit says, that we would act as we need to, so that when we leave this place, we can take your kingship with us, and we can bring sacrifices of praise to you all throughout the week. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm going to be standing here at the front. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would love to talk to you about that. And if you've got some business you need to do with God, while we sing this closing song, I would encourage you to just come and do business with God. Let's leave here as faithful kings and faithful priests. Let's stand together. Thank you. loving. We can love you because you first loved us. Thank you, Lord, that we can be confident that someday we can stand with you in heaven. We can know that we can have eternal life. So, Lord, we thank you for exceeding great, precious promises. I thank you that as heaven right now is singing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain," that, Lord, we are able to join with heaven and sing that today. I thank you, Lord, that we are able to call you King today as we sang. Lord, I pray that we would go out now and live like you are a great King. So now, to him that sits on the throne and unto the Lamb, be glory and honor and dominion and power both now and forever, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.